Well, it finally happened. Trent Bray is out at Oregon State. Hello, everyone, and welcome on into the Pac-12 Daily Podcast. Let's get on into it. Reaction show on this Sunday morning as Trent Bray has been relieved of his duties at Oregon State. This comes after the 0-7 start on the season and in his 2 years tenure time as the head coach in Corvallis, 5-14. This is long overdue. This is something that I've been talking about for quite some time, really since the start of this channel. It had to happen. And of course, it's a hard thing to do because he is a former player. He's a former defensive coordinator and was great at that position. But the position of this program was going in the wrong direction. And there's a lot of other things in the background that is happening with Oregon State with their NIL and their athletic department. I don't think this is the last move we will see from Oregon State happening. As of this time, there is no official statement, but Pete Thamel of ESPN has reported from sources. We have heard from On3 that they have fired him indeed. There's a couple other things that have reported the fact that Trent Bray is fired. So not officially, but all the sources are popping in that direction. This comes off the dreadful, embarrassing loss against Wake Forest on Saturday. And there's been multiple embarrassing losses this season. Let's keep it real on this one. That's why you're 0-7 on the season. I wasn't expecting this team to be a college football playoff contender, but definitely was expecting them to compete for at least the bowl game heading into November, at least the end of November. And instead, you are eliminated from bowl contention, the first team in college football to wear that crown. And that's not a crown that you want to wear whatsoever heading into this year or any years to be that. So they lose 39-14 against Wake Forest in Corvallis, and they do that against a backup quarterback in Purdy for Wake Forest. It was just a dreadful game. They were down 25-0 at halftime. They find a way to only score the final 14 points, the only 14 points that they score in the fourth quarter. If you want to consider that garbage time, I think you should. It was just an embarrassing football game overall. Ryan Clark of the, I believe it's the Organian, Oregon State Beavers beat writer, he put out that there was a quote from Gabari Johnson, the backup quarterback for Oregon State. And what he put out was, it said, quote, "To be honest with you, effort problems have been happening every game. I could say the same thing about people in the first game when they got down to Cal. They already quit. Whoever wants to play is going to show." This happened. This was reported after the game on Saturday night. You could tell this, the performance from these players, they absolutely quit on Trent Bray and the rest of this team. A remarkable statement by Johnson on this one, stepping up and kind of being transparent. You could see the writing on the wall, and there was no going back. You had to make this move, finally getting rid of Trent Bray. This doesn't mean the problems go away. If anything, this means the problems probably expand in the short term. And knowing that at least you have the possibility on moving on and getting better is great. But who knows if that actually continues? This is all stemmed from the sudden departure of Jonathan Smith a few years ago, who left for Michigan State. And might remind you that the grass isn't always greener when that happens, because he's having a very difficult time at Michigan State. Might be the next coach that's fired at the college football level. Does he return? I don't know about that. There's always the running joke that he sent all of his Oregon State gear into Goodwill once he left. There's going to be some coaching candidates that pop up, possible names. I think you're going to see a few from the FCS level, maybe try and take the same route that Washington State did with Jimmy Rogers coming over from the FCS level, being a very successful coach at that level. Pete Nakos of On3 already reporting some early names, like UC Davis's head coach Tim Plo, who is 16-4 in the past two seasons. And then Montana State's head coach, Brent Vigen, who has been 52-12 over the last 5 years. Those are two names that have already popped up. I'm sure there's going to be a couple other ones as well, though. Who knows if there's bigger names that express that come back into the conversation. There's, of course, big names that are on the hot seat right now across the Big Ten and the SEC. Does that mean that they find themselves over in Corvallis? Does the athletic department decide to spend the money to do that? They're only going to spend about $4 million on the buyout for Trent Bray. And with the NIL issues happening with the Blueprint NIL and some of these other things that are happening, it makes you wonder what type of direction they're going to take. This is a perfect time heading into the brand new Pac-12 in July of 2026 to make the right decision. But if you're an Oregon State fan and you're down and out right now, do you have that faith in Scott Barnes and some of the other athletic department people who make those decisions? I would say the majority of you are going to say no, just based on what I see on social media at the Pac-12 Daily on Twitter X, and of course, some of the other platforms as well. Again, this doesn't go away, though. This is the thing that makes it happen, that this doesn't go away, the problems. Malik Murphy hasn't been the quarterback that you were hoping he would be. And if he was, Trent Bray probably doesn't go in this situation. You probably don't have 5-14 on your record as the head coach of Oregon State if the Malik Murphy project, the one that you spent $1.5 million in the transfer portal to work out. And we saw him getting ripped on live TV last night on Saturday night on the CW network by former Heisman Trophy finalist Ryan Leaf. He was talking about how he just was afraid to step in the pocket. I think the actual quote is this. He said, quote, "He has no one in his face yet. He's unwilling to step into the throw. Just kind of comes off his back foot. And that's why the pass is inaccurate downfield." He had a lot more criticism for Murphy. He said, "In and out of every week, we just see some plays here or there where he's just flippant with his technique. And that's what's really costing this football team." So again, $1.5 million NIL deal this past offseason, and he was basically benched, or at least going back and forth with the other quarterback on the team this past Saturday. If you're spending that much money, you don't have, and you shouldn't be going with two quarterbacks. Kabari Johnson, of course, who made that very transparent quote that we talked about at the beginning of this episode, went 6-for-12 for 45 yards. He wasn't a world beater by any means, but Malik Murphy, the guy who spent almost $2 million in the portal to come over, a guy who had a great year in Duke last year. Apparently, there was other suitors chasing after him as well, and he chose Corvallis, went 13-for-30 for 130 yards and threw a pick. I mean, it was just not great at all. If it wasn't for Anthony Hakerson running for over 100 yards in Saturday's game, this one would have been a complete disaster. Cornell Hatcher Jr., the young running back, I think is like one of your only bright spots left. Of course, you have Trent Walker, who's been a great receiver for you for years, but of course, that's going to run out eventually just with eligibility. The Malik Murphy experiment, now that you have moved on from your coach, now that you no longer have a shot at bowl eligibility, do you continue to go with him? Like, that's the biggest question. Do you decide to keep with him? Right now, he's at a 57.8% completion rating. Putting that in perspective to what he was last year at Duke, that's 60.3. Still wasn't great, but he's already thrown 8 interceptions on the season as well. I think you make a change, and whether that's going with Kabari Johnson, that's not a youth movement by any means in stretch of the imagination. He is a sophomore, but it's better than Malik Murphy at this moment, at least for the fact of maybe you get to keep him on your roster moving forward. Malik Murphy will not be returning to Corvallis without question. I don't see that happening next season with a new coaching staff. Maybe you stick around a guy like Kabari Johnson, who was a vocal leader on your team. That's something to look forward this coming week. Now, the biggest question is, can they win some football games? There's still 5 games left on the season. We're going to find out who their interim coach may be, if they decide to go with an offense or defensive coordinator. There's been, of course, a lot of concerns when that is the case, and it won't be the defensive coordinator because Trent Bray was the acting defensive coordinator in this spot. So Gunderson, their offensive coordinator, is the only coordinator slash coach left on the board. They would make the assumption that he'd take over the interim duties, but a lot of people were asking for his firing as well. So I'm not sure if that actually helps you in the long term. They head in to take on a game in Corvallis this next week, and they're going to take on Lafayette. So it's an FCS opponent. This is probably their best shot of winning a football game that actually will be 2 weeks from today. They're actually going to be off a bye week, if I remember correctly. Let me look at that real quick. Unless I'm looking at this wrong, apologize for that. They're not on a bye week. I apologize. Yes, they'll be playing Lafayette on the CW network. That will be happening on Saturday, 7 p.m. Pacific time. Lafayette's 5-2. You know, FCS team, sure, but they're 5-2. So we'll see if Oregon State can win this with the change of scenery from the new head coach from Oregon State. Let me know your thoughts in the comment description below. Kind of just an impromptu reaction here of Trent Bray, dare I say, finally getting fired from Oregon State. you know, we give you it straight here. I'm not trying to hide any details. I was calling for this for a very long time. I think it needed to happen. I think it's three games too late, but at least it puts Oregon in the opportunity to get them in the right direction before July 2026 hits. There's enough time to get your head coach in the seat before the only transfer portal opens in January. And maybe, just maybe, we're already seeing some people decommit, but maybe you can save some of the recruiting class. Not that it was a great one anyways, but it's better than starting from absolute zero. Let me know your thoughts in the comment description below, and we'll see you back here next time soon. We got a bunch of games to cover and recap over the weekend. We're going to do that very soon right here on the Pac-12 Daily.